Blog Talk Radio.
Another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio, the Jewels.
Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. And are you ready to learn about your pets and what they're trying to tell you? Well, you're going to want to call in and ask Tim Link, animal communicator and author of the delightful book called Wagging Tails. You ask him your questions. Ask him anything. He's all geared up, ready to go here. And tonight we're going to open up the link between you and your precious pet with Tim Link. And that could be your beloved pet, or it could be a beast, or it could be a critter, or anything like that. So just call up. It's 718-508-9405. And be sure to hit the number one button, and that will tell me that you have a question for us. But before we get into bringing Tim out, I wanted to tell you to save the date for our upcoming cruise called Ride the Wave of Transformation on November 6, 2009. It's a three-day cruise out of the Port of San Diego going to Baja, California. Would you believe that the entire cruise with 10 different workshops on the Law of Attraction that's really going to change your life, it starts off at under $550. That's for the cruise and workshops. It's incredible. And for those who want to sign up through me and in the spirit of transformation, I'm going to be giving away free one-on-one hypnosis sessions with free boosters hypnosis CDs that's going to release your personal blocks. And that's going to be during the cruise. And, of course, that's worth about $150. So come aboard. Have a good time. Let's get down to the real nitty-gritty for you and just transform everything. And if you're interested, send me an email at jules@loaradionetwork.com. That's Jules, J-E-W-E-L-S, at Law of Attraction Radio Network, and I'll send you the information. Now, the workshops are going to include spiritual healer Dee Wallace and Match Matrix. Larry is going to be with us so that you can understand the dynamics of energy when you're trying to find that perfect love. Then we're going to have relationship expert Lisa Hayes with us, and parenting expert Sandy Swartz is going to help you discover, identify, and heal your inner child. It's going to be fantastic. We also are going to have singer and life coach Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt that's going to inspire you to snap out of it. And we're going to have Kathy Parks who's going to show you how to know when to change directions and when to stay on course. And, of course, we're going to have psychic extraordinaire Jules Kennedy who's going to be doing a workshop on the cruise, as well as incredibly informative metaphysic expert Robert Zink of the Secret Temple is going to be here too. How can you not come out off of that boat without a complete transformation? It's just incredible. You're going to be with like-minded people for 3 days, three nights, and it's going to be pure fun. Absolutely, you've got to be there. So join us. Send me an email. Let's get going on it. Next week's guest is going to be feng shui expert Anna Maria Prezio. So call in and ask her questions as well about your personal issues or about your house, your office. Come on, here's a chance to get that chi flowing. You know, here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio, we do anything and everything that's going to get you into that vortex of pure joy. When you're in this vortex, you know this as well as I do, You're in the state in which you can manifest your dreams at a much higher rate. And not only is it important to manifest your dreams, but you becoming healthy and happy and wise really does cause a ripple effect for the entire world. So we want you to be in this vortex. We're going to do everything we can to help you get there. And more important, once you get there, you're going to want to stay in that vortex because life is so much easier. So stay with us for you, your spiritual growth, and your happiness, because that means everything to us. So right before we bring out Tim, we're going to take a little listen to this little commercial.
Access your forgotten abilities to create a happy and joyful life that is filled with abundance through the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Listen to shows that will inspire and uplift your consciousness, required to fulfill your desires, by downloading your favorite shows to your MP3 player. Join us at loaradionetwork.com. That's loaradionetwork.com.
Well, great, we're back. Okay, now let's go on and talk to Tim Link, animal communicator and author of this cute, cute, cute book, Wagging Tails. You know, really a wonderful book, a fast read, and it really gives you some great information that you can apply to your animals. So, hi, Tim. Welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Whoops. You know, there we are. I need to bring him on. There we go. Hi, Tim. I bet you were talking to thin air there, huh?
I already told my story. Thanks a lot for having me on tonight.
I'm sorry. My finger got a little carried away there. Okay.
All right. It sounds like you got a lot of great, exciting stuff going on. So
Yeah. Everything. Boy, it's an exciting time to be alive here. And I'm really excited to talk to you. So Tim, give us a little background. Before you came to be an animal communicator, what did you do?
Well, before the gift presented itself, I was a telecom executive. I was a vice president and director of a major telecom corporation and had spent 20 years of my life giving major presentations and selling cellular phone technology to the biggest companies in America. And the gift sort of presented itself in 2004, and total life transformation coming my way.
And that total transformation, how'd that happen?
Well, I had went to my wife and I had went to a one-day workshop on how to calm your mind, how to calm your body, open it up, and how to connect with animals. And it was just a simple little workshop which worked on mostly just sort of centering yourself, you know, getting rid of all those crazy thoughts that are always entering your mind, calming yourself, lining your chakras, and, you know, breathing exercises, those type of things. And then during the workshop, there were about a dozen of us in the workshop, and each of us brought some pictures of our furry friends, and we had four or five questions that we only knew the answers to, and we would share the pictures with everyone in the class. Everyone would take a look at the pictures. They would focus in on the pictures, ask questions of the pets, and see what we got back from them. And some people received a few bits of information. Others received a whole lot more. For me, I was receiving, you know, two or three words back from the animals, and when I compared that information with the owners of the animals, everything was coming back 100% correct.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the host of the workshop actually brought in her dogs, and we started doing the same thing with her dogs, asking questions. And, at the time, the questions were fairly basic, like where does Spot like to sleep, what does he like to eat, what's his favorite toy, you know, fairly basic questions. But the key is that, you know, through this whole workshop, there was probably 60, 70 questions asked, and I was hitting 100% on everything.
My goodness. So do you think that you have the ability all along and you just got the kind of, you were able to tap into it all of a sudden, Mike?
Well, you know, I never had any indications that I had the gift before. You know, I have always loved animals, but I didn't have a lot of animals in my life. I grew up in a very modest household, and we didn't have the room. I mean, there was between my two sisters and my mom and dad, we lived in a 675-square-foot home. So, you know, there was no room for a bunch of animals in the household. And I didn't have that ability to, you know, rescue squirrels on the side of the road or talk cats down from trees. But I've always enjoyed the animals. Mm-hmm. And then when I got married, you know, my wife Kim and I, we've had a whole series of animals, so we've always enjoyed being around them. So I think it's one of those things where the gift was there, but I probably didn't recognize it. But the right and perfect time in my life and developing the ability to sort of open myself up and calm my mind down, both of those in conjunction, I think, helped open up the gift.
Wow, wow. And do you think that everyone is able to at least pick up pictures from animals, or does it take a special talent?
Well, I think everyone has the ability to connect with their animals at a much deeper level than perhaps they are today. I think if we do spend more time with our animals, if we calm our minds and open our hearts and open our minds to process of communicating with them, I think we will receive information. I think there are some people that actually are more in tune with their animals than what they even know. A lot of times during, I give a lot of speeches and workshops, and during that time I ask the people in the audience to raise their hand if they've ever had a situation where they have looked at their pet, they know something's wrong, there's no physical evidence that the animal's sick or there's something happening, but they took the initiative to take their pet to the veterinarian, and lo and behold, there was something. Mm-hmm. And virtually everybody raises their hand because they have that connection and they've had that opportunity where they just can't put their finger on it. They're getting information, but they just can't quite figure out where it's coming from or what to do with it. So they take it upon themselves to take the pet, in this case, to the veterinarian, and good thing that they did. So I think we are connected a little bit deeper with our animals and know more about them than what we even recognize. But, you know, with us humans, sometimes it takes us a little while to actually recognize what we're picking up.
So it's incumbent upon us to calm down and to just try to tune into the animal, try to feel what the animal is feeling?
Yeah, well, we calm our minds down, we open our hearts up to them, and we ask questions. And and you say these questions verbally as well as mentally, because you're mentally projecting. Every time you say a word, you mentally project that word. And animals are very visual creatures, so they're picking up on that. And the biggest and most important thing is that whatever you receive back, trust it. Trust what the information you're getting back. And that could be information in form of words. It could be colors, pictures, feelings. It could be just a gut feeling within yourself. But trust it, because a lot of times we tend to, when we receive information back, we tend to overanalyze it or think, nah, that can't be happening. You know, that's no way am I picking that up from my animal. But in reality, we should trust it.
Interesting. So you said that you get words from the animals.
Yeah. Well, early on, it was just, you know, when this gift uncovered itself 5 years ago, it was a couple of select words from the animals to very basic questions. But over time, the gift continued to develop itself, and opportunities to work with more animals started to present themselves. And now I've gotten to the point where, you know, I receive pictures, I receive words, colors, feelings, emotions, whatever the form of communication the animal is wanting to share with me, that's what I receive, and that's what I'm able to share back to the owner of the animal, or the human companion, as I call them. So you have a better understanding of what your pet is actually thinking and feeling at that time. And in return, I can share information that you're wanting your pet to know back to the pet, so the pet has a better understanding, a very clear understanding of what you need and expect of them.
Hmm. Interesting. Now, you can communicate with even animals that have passed on.
Yeah, I deal a lot with people that have animals that are either going through that transition process to help them understand the state of mind and state of physical being that their animal is going through and what the wishes of the animal are. And then once they've passed on, we're able to connect into that energy and find out, you know, if everything's going well, if everything's feeling good, has the animal come back, you know, to visit? Has it left its teachings behind for the other animals in the household? And it really gives great closure to a situation. You know, when our pets pass, we have a lot of guilt in some cases, or a lot of questions and wondering if we, you know, did we do too much? Did we not do enough? Should I have done more? Should I have done this? Should I have done that? And we really beat ourselves up over it. And by connecting with them after their energies in that transition process, when it's in that regeneration process, that's when we can get a better understanding of you know, did we do it all and get through that closure?
Yeah, it is traumatic. It is traumatic, if especially if an animal dies all of a sudden or gets hit by a car. It's just like losing a child.
Well, it is. I mean, they're a big part of our family. They're a huge part of our heart, so we want to take the best care of them. When it's something that's a sudden situation, or the animal is, you know, attacked or ran up, hit by a car, then we need to know. We need to know why that happened, and we need to know, you know, because sometimes it, you know, as tragic as it may seem, that was the plan. That was the plan of the animal to transition in that fashion, even though it seems cruel. Sometimes it's their choice to do it that way. We also have to understand that, you know, animals have this capacity where, you know, they're not as attached to their bodies as we are. You know, we hear about animals when they go into the dream state, they're actually able to experience more things and sort of go, while they're still connected with their body, sort of go out and explore other dimensions. Well, when animals also go through a tragic situation like being hit by a car, when that situation is about to happen, they have that unique ability to sort of detach themselves from their body. The cord's still connected, but they detach it so they can see the situation, but they don't feel the pain. Yeah, and like as humans, who we grasp till the last breath we take to our bodies, because oftentimes we feel that we are our bodies, when in reality, the body is just a host for, you know, the energy that is, you know, that is you, that is me, and that is whoever else, you know.
Well, I've got a question, actually, for a person who sent me an email, and she wanted to know about her cat. Unfortunately, they were in transport, in a car going up to another area for, they have a second home, and the cat somehow got out of the car. It wasn't in its cat box and got out of the car. They didn't discover that the cat was gone until after they reached their cabin. And I guess when it looks like four days later, they discovered that going back and looking for the cat, that it was hit. And the cat's name is Target. And she wants to know, can you ask about and see about Target? Because she just has this incredible guilt for not noticing that he was gone.
Yeah, in the cabin, was it like a summer or a summertime retreat cabin, or was this place they were moving to?
No, it was a retreat. It's like their second home.
Okay, and is that something that Target has been, has Target gone on that trip with them before?
Yes.
Okay.
Many times,
okay. Because I'm getting the feeling that from what Target's sharing is, well, Target's fine, and Target's been back around. I'm not sure how long this has been, but Target says he's been back. Target says, been back around is the words, been back around. So I'd be curious to find out if she has felt the presence of the cat or has seen anything. A lot of times there'll be spots where the cat used to like to lay, and they'll feel warm to the touch, or they'll feel crumpled, and you assume maybe it was somebody in the household or another animal in the household that's been sitting there. But in fact, that was Target. Yep. And oftentimes they'll and Target's done this as well. If there are other, she has other cats.
Yeah.
Okay. So the question is, has Target says left behind? And what we're picking up here is that when they do transition, they will come back not only to check in to see how things are how everything's with their human companions and everything in the household, but they'll also leave their teachings, or what I call their imprints, to the other animals. So there are the things that Target used to like to do that now perhaps her other cat's picking up on and taking over that responsibility. Sometimes they're good things and sometimes they're not so good things.
Interesting.
So I'd be curious to see if there's been some shift, some responsibility changes where another one of the other cats has stepped up and has taken on that role.
So was he just that feeling of being left behind, was that terrible for him?
No, he said he wasn't supposed to go. So I don't know if they had hesitated about bringing him or what situation. He said it wasn't meant for him to go.
Really?
And, yeah, yeah. So I'm not sure what the plan was, but it wasn't a left. I would suggest to the person that emailed, your friend that emailed, I'd suggest that quit beating yourself up over the fact that that you missed that the cat got out and you left it behind, because I don't think Target really thought he was supposed to go to begin with.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. And we have got a caller on the line. So let's go directly to this caller. It's area code 828. Are you there?
I am here. This is Linda Miller.
Hi, Linda Miller. How are you?
Hey, ma'am. I'm great.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear from you.
Well, I got excited when I saw what your call was about tonight.
Yeah, and I bet you have a couple of questions for Tim.
Well, after listening to what he said so far, do you communicate only with animals who've passed over or animals, like, who are living?
No, most of my consultations are animals that are living. So I sort of deal in three different areas.
Okay.
One is animals that are living and have developed some sort of change in their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be a physical change, maybe they're going through some physical ailments. It could be an emotional change that they're going through, stagnant energy in the household, changes in the household, things of this sort. Or it could be a mental thing where,
mm-hmm.
Another cat has been brought in and it's actually mentally frustrated the animal. So
well,
we focus on...
I would
on
love to know what my... I have two chihuahuas, and I would love to know what they would have to say to me. One of them is very quiet and shy and reserved and really literally backs up when you go to pick him up, but then he's wonderful and friendly, and the other one's this loud little outgoing barky thing. So, I would love to know how to hear from them what they would like.
Yeah, in the individual consultations, we go through that. We go through what they're thinking. Are there any challenges that they have? If there's any behaviors or changes that you're wanting from them, then we explain that to them. In return, they'll share some information back with us as well, things that they want you to know. They feel good right now, though. They've been healthy. Everything good with them?
Pretty much. The youngest one, the one that's real shy, he's had some issues, but he's well right now.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they feel well. They feel good right now, and the little one definitely is. It's sort of, they each have their own personalities, and one's a more dominant one than the other, and that seems to work well in the household. A little bit of uncertainty and a little bit of nervousness in the young one. So, you want to do some things to sort of build up his confidence, build up his trust in not necessarily you, but other people as well.
Okay, I'm sorry, Linda. I got to ask, how do you build up a dog's confidence? I'm sorry, just got to ask this.
Sure. Well, you give them jobs to do, first of all. Assign them jobs to do. It could be anything from, laying there while you are doing computer work to be your muse. It could be to watch outside and sort of monitor the household. It could be to watch after another person in the household. You assign them little jobs. And when you do this, you can communicate with your animals simply by talking to them. And this is what I do every day. So when you talk to them, though, the key is you've got to be very clear in what you're saying and what you're wanting from them. So I always recommend that you talk to your animals in the following fashion. You tell them what the situation is, what you need from them, and why is it going to be a good thing? Why would they want to do it? So if you're trying to build up confidence, maybe the little one's a little timid and does a little TT on the floor or something, and when you go to pick it up too quickly, then you explain the situation saying, I understand you're a little bit nervous and unsure when we go to pick you up, but I want to let you know that it's going to be okay, and I'm going to make sure we pick you up gently. So that's what it is. What I need you to do is be a big, strong puppy for me and let me pick you up when I need to and be confident in when that everything's going to be fine. And why would you want to do this? Well, this will make Mommy very happy, and it'll make you feel good because you'll get to go more places with us.
That feels good to me.
Yes.
I like hearing that.
Exactly.
Would you have any suggestions for we had a storm? Oh.
Hello?
Am I still here?
Yeah, you still are.
Yeah, okay,
I can hear you.
I heard a recording. I was going to ask you, we had a storm a week or so ago, and my older Chihuahua, who's a year older than the first one, she has never been afraid of thunder. The little one's always been afraid of thunder, but we were sitting on the back porch watching the storm come in over the mountain, and we had an unexpected, huge clap of thunder that scared all of us, and since then, she's very afraid of thunder and hides under a table.
Okay, so we can do two things. First of all, when you know there's a storm coming up, you want to explain that to her. So you explain what the situation is,
okay,
what she needs to do, and why is it going to be a good thing.
Okay.
Okay, and so you're explaining this to her verbally, and the visualization will come out naturally. The second thing you want to do is there's some little tricks of the trade, because it's not uncommon for animals to be a little afraid during thunderstorms. So one of the things you can do is put a T-shirt on her, a little T-shirt that preferably has your scent or someone else's scent, you know, that she's familiar with, or her scent on it. Just a little comforting, snug T-shirt.
Okay.
It sort of works like a swaddling cloth with a baby. Okay, so it gives her a little bit more protection. It's just a little T-shirt, but they feel like it's a protection zone around them.
Okay.
And another thing you may want to try doing is, if she's still a little timid and a little bit afraid of the storms, then find her a safe zone during storms. And what I mean by safe zone is anywhere that she feels comfortable or feels secure. Now, if that means underneath the table, then that's fine. That can be her safe zone. She can go there. You can actually help her go there and sit there with her for a while until she gets used to the fact that storms equal safe zone. Safe zone could be underneath the bed, could be underneath the couch, it could be a small bed in an open closet, whatever it may
kennel.
Be. Okay, or kennel if she's comfortable in there. Anything where you're not there to lock her up in it until the situation's over, but what you're there for is you're providing a safe zone. You're providing a safe area that she starts to associate that whenever I get a little scared, especially during storms, this is an area I can go to where I'm comfortable and I feel good about everything.
Okay.
And, yeah. And at first, if she can't figure out what her safe zone is, you know, if she's a little too clingy or, you know, wants to hang around too much, then find a good safe place for her and just set a chair outside of, say it's near the bed, you put her under the bed, you put a little chair outside of it, and you sort of sit there and ride the storm out. And then when the next storm comes, you sit there for a few minutes and then you leave. So you start to build up that connection where she knows that storms equal safe zone, so I'm going to go to my safe zone and everything's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's excellent. I actually never thought about telling her it's coming.
Yeah,
or,
I mean,
what to expect. That's great.
Well, talking to our animals is a big part of it. And, you know, I sort of, when I tell people this and when I'm talking about this at lectures that I'm doing and speaking events that I'm doing, I always give an analogy. And so I might as well give it here. I'll give you guys the test tonight, see if you can pass the test.
Okay.
Okay? I'm going to say two words. And when I'm done with those two words, you let me know you let me know if you heard the words and if you saw the picture. Okay? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The two words are orange ball. Orange ball. Now, did you hear the words orange ball?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Did you see an orange ball?
Yes.
There you go.
Oh, I thought you said orange bowl, like a bowl.
No.
Okay, I got totally messed up.
No, well, that's where we got to be very clear. And even when you say the words orange ball, you know, your ball may be a basketball, mine may be a beach ball.
Right.
So we may have to go back through it again, make sure the animal's clear on it. But the key here is they're very visual creatures, so they understand the words that you're saying, first of all. Second of all, the visualization from those words automatically come out, subconsciously come out, whether we know it or not, the visualization comes through. And the third thing is it increases our energy. It lifts up our energy. Just like you said a moment ago, wow, you know, that makes me feel good just hearing that. Well, that's what we're talking about. When you say the words, you get them off your chest, you've spoken those words, you automatically feel better about the situation, and so your energy goes up. When your energy goes up, the pet's energy becomes goes up with you.
Okay, so they're actually reading your energy.
They're reading your energy, they're seeing your visualization, and they're hearing the words that you're saying. And the combination of the three is very powerful, and your animals will respond accordingly.
Ah, very good.
Yeah.
I can definitely tell that my little one reads my energy when I'm nervous, or because I don't like storms either. But when I'm nervous about anything, sometimes I just hand him off to my husband, who is a lot calmer because he picks up on me.
Absolutely. I talk a lot about positive energy and negative energy. You know, and positive energy is when you're in a good state of mind, you're physically sound, you're mentally sound, everything's going good in your life, and you're sharing that positive energy with everybody in the household, including your pets.
Mm-hmm.
So thus, they're in a great state of mind. They're usually feeling great physically and mentally. Now, if you're in a negative situation, if you're in negative energy, you know, the job's terrible, the life's terrible, I feel terrible, everything's terrible. Well, animals will do the best job they can, which they usually do a great job, of deflecting that negative energy and sort of pushing it back at you to sort of wake you up and say, hey, get out of this funk, get out of this negative energy, because it's not good for you and it's not good for me. But after a while, if you continue to pour that on them, they'll start to absorb it. And that's when you start to see some behavior changes. That's when you start to see some physical changes in your pets, because now they're absorbing that energy.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you're nervous, they're going to be nervous.
Or if you're stressed, they're going to be stressed.
Absolutely.
So it's again, it's upon us. We've got to stay in that better space. So
they have a great life, and you have a great life with them. Yeah. And that's what we talk about. So in Wagging Tails, the work that I do here as a communicator, we basically, you know, I'm here to give the animals a voice, and I'm here to help you build the best relationship possible between you and your pets.
Okay.
And that's what we talk about. And in the book, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tell, that's some of the things we talk about. We have 32 stories, wonderful stories of animals I've worked with, and everything from animals have had physical problems to behavior problems to what have you, you know, just the whole array. And we also have lost pets in there, where we found lost pets and helped bring them back home. And then we also tie in 24 helpful hints, little tips that you can do today to help build a better life between you and your pets. And one of them is exactly how to talk to your pets, how to explain to them what the situation is, what you need from them, and why is it going to be a good thing.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. I know, I love the book. Linda, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, Tim, Linda is a law of attraction expert of the highest kind. I just adore this lady. So how does an animal, I've got a feeling that they absolutely know about the universal law, that they're attracting things to them, and they actually are in, they were attracted to us to begin with. Is that correct or not?
No, that's absolutely correct. Animals choose us. Whether we know it or not, our animals always choose us. And if you reflect back on all the animals you have in your life or have had in your life, they've either shown up at your doorstep, or they've been given to you by a friend, or you didn't think about getting a pet, but now you've got one, or there's a particular breed you wanted, but then you changed your mind once you saw this other one, or you're walking by the local pet store and you weren't planning on stopping in, but all of a sudden you are. So you hear more and more of these stories about animals actually choosing us. And our animals are just like humans. Animals are just like humans, but they do it a little bit better than we do when it comes to like the law of attraction. First of all, just like humans, animals are brought here for a mission, for a purpose. We all have a purpose. There's a reason for us being here, and we should work every day on that purpose, and then when we're done, we leave. Now, animals stick to that. You know, they have their past, but they don't stick in the past. They don't worry about their past. They learn from their past, but they live in the moment, and they work every day to fulfill their mission and purpose, and then they transition out of this world. Us humans, we come down here for a purpose, and a lot of times we get into our past and we hang on to it. We hang on to it like it's a golden egg, and we want everybody to see it. Though we say we want to throw it away, we keep, you know, attaching ourselves to it.
Mm-hmm.
So often we never get around to figuring out what our purpose is, and we spend thousands and thousands of dollars and years and years of analysis from professionals, and all along that purpose was right within you. So when we talk about the law of attraction, is you have to understand where you're at. You have to get rid of that stinking thinking of the past.
Mm-hmm.
Live in the moment. Get quiet. Understand what you're here for, and work every day to do it. And what you throw out there is exactly what you're going to get back.
Do you think animals or that people ever reincarnate as animals?
Well, it's a real big debate. I guess my philosophy is that we're all energy. Everything's energy. I like to use that word. It's called universal energy, God energy, source energy, however you want to label it. And we come into a body, and we do work hard every day to do what we need to do while we're here, and hopefully we get it right, and then we leave. And we go back up into energy. We go back up into source or universe, however we want to label it. So if that energy comes and goes as pleases and chooses different hosts, then why wouldn't that energy choose whatever host they think would be best for them to fulfill their purpose for why they're back on this earth again?
Makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the being attracted, perhaps we could ask, if Linda, if you don't mind, why were Linda's animals or beautiful dogs, why were they attracted to Linda? What was the mission for them? Can you read that?
Yeah, well, I think that one is actually to be to teach, and these are qualities you may already have, Linda, but one is to teach sort of strong, to be focused on what you need to do, to be outspoken where needed, and the other is to also bring out your nurturing nature, your heart connection, to show your love, because you do have a good big compassion to help other people, and that animal's there to teach you that, because you have to give that animal special attention and special love in order for it to feel comfortable. So I think it's a combination of those type of things.
Well, my one chihuahua, the oldest one, Lexi, she is very special to me because she actually belonged to my son for only a few months before he passed away. And so I know that he touched her. He physically touched her. So when I touch her, he has physically touched her.
Right.
And so that is a tremendous connection for me. And then the other one, who's a year younger, I have felt driven to get him. And as very strange as it sounds, he has some of the health issues that my son had.
There you go.
Wow.
I don't know exactly what to make of that, but.
Well, I tell you, it's amazing. As I was saying earlier on the show, I spent 20 years as a telecom executive, and I traveled. My territory was North America, to give you an idea how much ground I covered.
Wow.
And a lot of times with these major corporations, they had their engineering teams, et cetera, overseas. So I travel a lot overseas. So I was constantly on the road. And our Pomeranians had passed. We had two Pomeranians, and they'd both passed away at the age of 15. So they lived great lives. But we went a few years without having a dog, and this was before the gift presented itself. And about the time the gift presented itself was about the time we found two schnauzers, or they sort of found us. They were bred. The people that had them kept them for 9 months, couldn't sell them, so turned them into the local county shelter, and they were within a day of being euthanized. And these are purebred schnauzers. And we stumbled across them by trying to help a friend of ours who had found a black cat. This was in October. And black cats are hard to place to begin with, let alone around Halloween. There's a particular stigma there, and it makes it very difficult to find a home for a black cat. And while my wife was helping her friend place this black cat at some sort of a no-kill shelter or get it somewhere where it would be safe, she uncovered the pictures of our two boys, our two schnauzers. And at that time, I had no intention in my mind to get dogs back into our life, because it wasn't fair, because I was traveling constantly. Little did I know that just a few months later, this gift would present itself, and they would be my guide, they would be my mentors, my muse, to be able to do all the things that I've been doing. And, you know, the gift grew, I learned from them, they've had new health problems that I've never experienced before, they've taught me new things that I've shared with thousands of other people to help them with their pets, and they helped me make the leap of faith to leave my 20-year career in telecom to pursue this full-time. And if you would have told me that when we got the boys, 5 years ago, I would have thought you were nuts. But we've learned from them, and some of the lessons are hard and heartfelt. But everything they've taught me, I've been able to share with others to help them out as well. And so I do believe they come into our lives for a mission and a purpose. And if we can identify what that is, then I think that's an excellent thing to do.
Can I ask one more question, Jules?
Sure.
Well, when I was picking out Lexi, when she was a baby, she was 1 pound, and I had two chihuahuas. A breeder brought two chihuahuas to my house, a little boy and a little girl, and I was holding them in both in my two hands out in front of me, literally for 1 hour, saying, which one, which one, which one? And before that, I had a Labrador Retriever, a chocolate lab, and she always, when she laid down, she always crossed her front legs. And I always just thought that was so neat. She always crossed her front legs. Well, while I was looking at the two chihuahuas in my hand, all of a sudden, the little one that was Lexi crossed her front legs. She just, like, took her tiny little stick legs and crossed them over, and I looked at it, and I'm like, yeah, that's the one. And I thought it was Coco, my lab, telling me that's the one.
And that very well could have been.
That was the neatest thing, and that was the choice.
Yeah, and that very well could have been. You know, our animals, once they transition, they're always with us. They're always there for us. When they first transition, they come back quite frequently to check in, but over time, as their energy continues to regenerate and you get a little bit more comfortable with it, though you never forget it, they will start to work on their next mission, their next purpose. But if we ever need them, if we have those situations where they think they need us, that we need them, or there's times we absolutely need to feel that energy again, to feel the presence of that animal will come back, and it'll be in little things like you just noticed often.
Will they come back as another pet for us?
Could be. If you have, if they didn't get their mission completed, maybe those tragic situations like we talked about, or that body wasn't going to serve its purpose, so it needed to leave that body so it could come back in a different body. Sometimes that will happen. Sometimes they'll come back into our lives in a different form and teach us a new thing. So there are some animals, you know, that have been in your life over and over and over again. And other times they won't. They won't come back to you. They'll always be there. That energy will always be there for you to draw upon for strength and guidance. But they may be in a physical body somewhere else, helping that person fulfill whatever their purpose is.
Huh.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Don't you love it, Linda?
I absolutely love it. Would you have a way to, or a suggestion, to let an animal like my oldest chihuahua know that it isn't necessary for her to bark at every single sound that she's never heard before and every time somebody knocks on the door?
Well, yes, that is probably the biggest thing I handle within dogs, that and the anxiety of when you leave your house.
Mm-hmm.
We deal with that a lot, especially with dogs. One of the things that you need to do is recognize that that's her job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may be a self-appointed job, but it's definitely her job.
Yes.
And the best way I have found to recognize, to get a dog to stop barking, for instance, if that's their job, is to recognize that they're doing a great job and give them accolades for doing a great job. So it's like you having a job and your boss actually telling you you're doing good work.
Mm-hmm.
And it always makes you feel better and you always, respond accordingly. So I always tell people that if the door knocks and the dog barks, then you say, great, somebody's at the door. Thanks for letting me know that. Let's see who it is. Super. I see who it is. I need you to go lay down and be a good girl because this is going to make mommy happy. So once again, it's going back to explaining what it is, what she needs to do and why it's going to be a good thing. But it's mostly you're plotting her because she will not stop barking until you recognize what it is she's barking at.
Okay.
And once you recognize it and you look out the blinds and say, yep, that's the mailman. Good job. Thanks for letting me know. And I need you to go lay down on the couch and be a good girl because that's going to make mommy happy. We do this. We've got the two schnauzers, and the one, he is the watchdog. He monitors the outside windows. He keeps an eye on everything going on, especially when we're at the kitchen table. He always looks out those windows. For some reason, he thinks that's important because we're not watching out, so he's got to watch out for us. And as soon as he barks at somebody, we get up and we look out the blinds and say, yep, that's the neighbor's car. Good job, buddy. Now I need you to go lay down on the couch. We'll be done with dinner here in a little bit. Thanks for letting us know. Make mommy and daddy very happy. And he'll turn around, he'll go on the couch, and he'll lay down.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
It would be very nice if after she barks to tell me someone's at the door, when they come in the door, that she would not bark at their feet like she was going to bite them. She doesn't. And after 5 minutes of that, she's their best friend sitting on their lap.
Yeah.
Right.
But
she's spend
about 5 minutes barking at them to let them know she's here, I guess.
Yeah, well, the front door is always a tough one because that's the main entry point into the household, and the animals obviously feel the need to protect their household. Often, if there are people coming over and you know they're coming over for a visit, even if it's the same people, you know, if it's your kids or relatives or whoever, I always tell them to meet the dogs in a neutral zone.
Mm-hmm.
And a neutral zone could be in the backyard. They come in through the back gate and through the back door. It could be that it's in the garage with the garage door open. Because for some reason the dogs feel that if the garage door opens and they're standing in the garage, then that means that's outside. And so a neutral zone makes it easy for them. And then your friends or relatives can greet them, maybe give them a little treat, and then have the dogs escort them into the house, show them the house.
Okay.
And often that's easier way. Front doors are tough because that's a territorial type of thing. And even if it's the same person coming over every day, it's a tough one to get them to stop doing.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Linda. Those are great questions. Really informative. Thanks for calling in.
Absolutely. Thank you both.
Okay.
Great. Thanks, Linda.
And we do have another call. It's from area code 508. You're on
Hello.
The line.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you? Oh, I'm enjoying your show so much. It's so informative.
I know.
Love it.
And you're talking to Tim Link, who wrote the phenomenal book called Wagging Tails. Go ahead with your question.
Oh, I just can't wait to go and read it. I've really enjoyed your show so far.
Thank you.
I really am. I honestly don't have a specific question, as I'm not very familiar with your work. I was looking on Blog Talk Radio, and I saw it, and I went, oh, my gosh, I would love to listen to that. So I clicked on you. I have a pet that we've had for a long time, and we love him very dearly. And I'm not sure what exactly, specifically, your talent is, whether it's doing psychic readings for the pet or for my past pets or whatever it is, but if you could expand on you and who you are and what your talent is, then maybe I could have a specific question for you.
Sure. Well, that'd be great. Well, I'm a practicing animal communicator and energy healer for animals, as well as an author of the new book, Wagging Tails, and that's T-A-L-E-S. And every animal has a tail, and it's a collection of 32 stories about animals I've worked with and helped solve problems and answer questions and help you build great relationships with your pets. I also do quite a bit of work with lost animals, helping people locate lost animals and hopefully get them to come back home. The best way to find out about me is take a look at the website, which is wagging-tails.com. So it's wagging-tails.com. And on the website, you'll find out a little bit more about me. What is animal communication? It tells you a little bit about the book. It has numerous clips of national and local regional television shows that I've been on, as well as national radio shows that I've been on, and some articles, quite a few articles I've written. And there's also a wonderful free e-newsletter on there, which we send out the first of every month, which not only keeps you abreast of what's going on with Wagging Tails, but also has helpful hints and advice, things that you need to know about your pets and how you can build a better life with them.
Well,
so take
that's
a look
fantastic.
At the website. Yeah. So we do.
Well,
we
so
do a
most
lot of
your work would be in person. If you were to meet my dog, you would be able to communicate with him and understand what's going on in his life.
Well, actually, about 90% of my consultations are over the phone. So
really?
Yes. So I don't have to be there in person. All I need to do is you go to the tab on the web page, which is called Appointments and Fees, and it tells you all about the individual consultations. And we basically receive a picture of your pet or pets, the names of your pet or pets, and we schedule a time, and we set up a conference call. And during the conference call, you ask me questions, things you want to know about your pet or things that they're doing that you need to better understand why they're doing them, so maybe we can correct them or get them some physical attention, you know, some things that they need, medical attention that they need, as well as they'll share information back with me, to me, things they want you to know that is maybe affecting their lives.
Oh,
so
gosh, I would love that.
Yeah.
Sarah, I can't tell you how many times, you know, our dog is like our first child, you know, and we love him so much, and he's getting on in years, and I just wish so much that he could talk to us and let us know what he's thinking. And my husband and I were talking yesterday. That's why I feel it's so timely that I came upon your show, that it was only just yesterday that we had both said that in the last 2 or 3 weeks we've had neighbors, friends, family, both mentioned, I'm going to get choked up, in the last 3 weeks we've each had 3 separate people say, oh, well, Beau's getting older now, and go, whoa, you know, just all of the sudden that nobody had ever said anything before, and now all of these people are saying this to us, and we're not sure whether it's they're trying to prepare us or whether the dog is giving off something to people that people who have lost pets before in their lives as adults recognize. So they, you know, most of the people who live around us, our neighbors, are older and have had pets in their lives and older families. So we're not sure whether they may be recognizing something in our dog that we don't recognize yet, because this is the first pet that we've owned as adults and going about it. But we both started talking about it last night being like, wow, can you believe that all these people at the same time are telling us this? And it's gotten us really choked up about it.
Yeah. And perhaps your emotions that you are – your energy that you're putting out there is your animal picking that up as well, that you're worried about
him
leaving.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. But, I mean, I think everyone is always worried about their pet. I mean, they love them.
Yeah,
so much.
I know, but I was just wondering if perhaps your beloved pet is picking up the fact that you're getting worried about it may be close for him to go.
And that he's picking
that
up so other
people
are telling us about it?
Well, yeah, it could affect it. Could it not, Tim?
Well, it could be numerous things. Well, how old is Beau now?
10.
10? And what kind of dog is he again?
He's a mutt. He's a Swiss Mountain mix.
Okay.
But he's a big dog.
You know, it's funny. I mean, you have to go with these are questions, obviously, I can ask Beau, and we can connect with Beau, and we can dig down to see if there are any issues going on with them. But the best thing I can tell people is that you know your pets better than anybody, and if there's something going on with them, you're going to be able to pick that up. And
yeah, I also think
that,
he's fine.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't like,
I
we
he's
don't,
fine.
He's just gotten back from his checkup, you know, like, he went a month ago. He's fine. I mean, he's still happy. He's good. But, of course, you know, when your dog has his 10th birthday, when they're a big dog, you start to think, oh, wow. You know, like, you know, when he had it a bunch of months, you know, he's probably 10 and a half now. You know, but we started thinking, and I guess it's from people, he's the love of the neighborhood. He really is. I mean, he's just a love of a dog. And, you know, people see him playing with my kids, and everybody comments about him. So I almost feel like maybe the people are preparing themselves for it.
Well, they could be. What you need to do is smile and say, don't say that around him.
Oh, I would love to say that. Maybe. That's a perfect thing to say that. That's perfect.
Yeah, you can't go around. You know, it's like, you know, a neighbor kid calling, you know, the little a neighbor calling the little kid a chunky kid. Well, you call the kid chunky kid over and over. Well, guess what? The kid's either going to be chunky or he's going to think he's chunky, and it's going to mentally affect him. So
exactly.
Yeah, we don't need that kind of thinking. It's positive thing. Beau's feeling good. Bo's feeling good, and he's going to keep doing what he's doing. So don't you worry about Bo, and you just need to tell them that they should spend more time looking at how old they're getting.
Yeah, concentrate on themselves. That's important.
Stop reminding me. You know, like, we obviously know that our time is limited with him, and we had gotten him as a rescue dog. So we knew when we rescued him from the shelter, he was 4. So we knew that when he chose us, as I now know, like, which we totally felt, that when we got him, you know, we weren't looking for a big dog at all. It was really one of those stories where I told the woman who was running the rescue, I said, you know, we're not looking for a very big dog. We really want a medium-type dog. My husband and I work opposite shifts, so the dog will always have somebody home with him. And I said, but we lived in a condo at the time. It was a large condo, but
yeah,
we didn't have a yard.
Excuse me, we got about 3 minutes left,
oh,
and I
sorry.
Got another caller on here. But
okay, yeah. The dog did definitely choose us. And
yeah, absolutely.
We've never turned back, that we love him so much.
That's awesome. Well, Bo loves you too. And
hello? Oops. Hello, Tim, are you there? Tim, are you there? Oops, well, we lost it. But you know what? We're going to go ahead and take this call here. And Tim's going to call back in. I don't know what happened. Hi, area code 850. Hello, 850.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
I bet you have a wonderful question for your animal, and Tim was disconnected, but he's going to come up. Go ahead and ask your question. We've got about 3 minutes. Here he is. Go ahead.
I was wondering, we have a boy dog, and we got him a girlfriend, and I was wondering if he really would love her, because we don't know. We don't know.
Okay, Tim, you're on the air, right, Tim?
Right. Yeah, I'm here with you.
Okay.
And who got the new girlfriend? I'm sorry.
My dog Rico. He has a girlfriend, and we don't know if he loves her or not.
So you want to know if your dog loves his new girlfriend dog?
Yeah, because we want them to have babies.
Oh, okay. Well, obviously, if he loves the companionship of the other dog, then obviously he loves her and is attached to her. And now whether they have babies or not, you just have to let that, you know, happen. If that's something you guys are wanting, then put that out there and visualize it happening. Talk to him about that and see if it will. The key thing is, you know, animals have their own personalities and animals have free will, just like you and I do. So you can't talk somebody into doing something that they don't necessarily want to. Not to say that Ringo doesn't, but, you know, let that nature handle its course.
There you go. Now that's what you call a good answer. I like that. Did you have any other questions for Tim? We've got about 2 more minutes.
No, that was it.
That was
good.
It. Okay.
Good. Well, I'm glad Ringo found love. That's great.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye.
I just want to remind everybody that they can go and check out all the great information on Tim Link's website, which is www.wagging-tales.com, and schedule a consultation and get to know what your pets are. Trying to tell you, and even better than that, though, when you go and talk to Tim, I'm sure you're going to be able to get a better feeling on how you can communicate better with your animal. And you know what? That's probably the bottom line, isn't it, Tim?
Absolutely. We're here to have the best relationship possible with our pets, and that's some of the things I can help you out with.
Oh, fabulous. Wow, this was great. Really informative. I got to get you back because I didn't get all my questions answered, and I have about 20 more. So I'm going to invite you back. It was a very, very good show. Thank you very much. And to all of the wonderful listeners out there, we will talk to you next week. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. For more information, go to Law of Attraction Radio Network at lawofattracttalkradio.com or lawofattractiontools.com.